you, Joseph. My goodness, look at y'all. Man, y'all look different cleaned up. I swear. My name's Roger, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is November the 12th, 1990, and I'm sober front and back. Man, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here, y'all. A lot of people think I'm from Boston, but I'm not. It ain't funny. But I am tickled to death to be here, y'all. I mean it. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't like to do it. Here, I'll do it. No kidding. I mean, because I know how I'll feel after it's done. You know what I mean? I'm going to drop it like it's hot. And get out away from it and go home. And it's really been a pleasure to be here since Thursday because I have kids. And I'm telling you, that ain't funny. Two of them are teenagers. Yeah.
Whatever.
So I swear, getting away from home tickles me. And my wife, I go, go ahead. And I went to the parking lot, parked the car, and man, I got everything out of the car, the luggage, and man, I'm going to be on time. And I got to the security, and they said, take everything out of your pockets. Take your cell, make sure you get that cell phone. I go, oh, man. I left it in the car. I think I did it on purpose. It's really been nice. I ain't kidding you. But I know, I just love Georgia, man. There's something about Georgia. Woo! I mean it. Because I can understand y'all. Yeah. It's just something, oh, I just love it, man. And it reminds me of Kentucky. That's originally where I'm from. I come from the country. A lot of people don't believe that. Honestly, I really raised on a farm, and I had the best family you could ever have. Mama was a big woman who loved to cook. Daddy was a big man who loved to work. And he was a sharecropper. He worked for the people who owned the big farm. It would raise the crop. And whatever they was raising, we ate all year. Seriously. If they had green beans, we had green beans all year. We did, man. If they had taters, shut up. We had taters. And they had hay.
Hey.
Well, my dad would sell extra hay to get cash money to buy things. And everything I've ever owned or ever wore was secondhand clothes. We were poor, didn't even know it. You ever been so poor you don't even know it? I swear, man. They go, you don't have tennis shoes? Huh? I swear. I always wore them all. Y'all call them plow boots. I call them dress slippers. Honest. And, man, we'd go to school, and everybody, I mean everybody looked, you know, we all looked alike in the country. And it wasn't honest. And it wasn't nothing to do. I lived in didn't live in the town, lived out in the woods. But we'd come to town, and there was a courthouse right in the middle of the road. Honest. And it was called the square. You'd go around it. Go around the square, and you'd go on out to the other side of it. Well, everything was around the square. Bank, hardware, pool hall, a place that had clothes, and a barber shop. I mean, everything you wanted done, you could get up there on the square. And all the guys would sit around the square, chewing tobacco, whittling. You know, somebody ride by, "Hey, you know." They would. And my daddy was a big man. I mean big. And I think I say it because I was little. Remember when you was little, about 4 and 5, you look up at your dad? Well, my dad was a big man, had bushy hair, dark hair, and big shoulders, big hands. But he had one defect. And I found this out when my mother would buy him shirts. My mom would buy them shirts with all the X's. And he put that shirt on. He couldn't button the neck, but he'd go on down, button here, button there, and he'd get to his belly, he couldn't button it. Because my daddy had a big old belly. And you could always see his belly button, and everywhere we went, everywhere, I don't care if we went, it didn't matter where we went, he always had his finger in that belly button. Honest. That's what I love about AA. You can come here, you don't have to make nothing up. Just tell the truth, they'll laugh. Man, I'll tell you, there's been some great speakers here. My God, Massoon. Loved it. Oh. And then next was Becky from around here. Oh, man. And, I didn't bring that card. No, I know who's here. Peter. Peter spoke Friday night. Shut up. I thought Peter was going to hurt somebody. Yeah, he was strict, man. Yeah, he did. Whoa. And then Saturday, we had, Linda. I remember you. Because Linda said something that really helped me. When you said people with slow-minded. Yeah. I think I was the only one related. Honored. But thank you, Lynn. And then my new friend who I love so much, Mary. Oh, my God. My home group just had an anniversary, and Mary come and spoke, and all we ate and threw food at each other. Just a ball, you know. And they could only let her speak so long. And I hate that. Listen, y'all knew when you came here, somebody would be speaking. Didn't you? So, and y'all knew y'all would be listening. But if you get done before I do, quietly get up and leave. I hate them people go, "By God, I thought he'd be done." Well, he's not. And man, last night, the clouds parted. Paul brought it home. Paul brought it where we got to be. And thank you, Paul. I swear I thought Paul was from Kentucky there for a minute. But as he loosened up, that Irish started sipping out of him. But thank you, buddy. And now you're left with this. So I hope y'all got all that before I got up here. This is the dumbest talk you ever hear. I'm telling you, man. I get in the step group and they won't let me say a word. No, you sit over there. But man, I am so grateful to be sober. The sober life has been so good. I'm married. Yeah. I came to AA, I didn't have no teeth. I'll take them out if you want me to. I swear I came here, didn't have no teeth, and I thought I was the best looking man in the room. Yeah, drunks are. We come up in here going. And I couldn't control my tongue. I'd stand back behind the coffee, eating cookies, and somebody'd say something. I'd say, hey, how you doing? And they'd have glasses, and it looked like it rained on them. Swear, man. But I'd stand back there, and chicks would walk by and go, hey, y'all. I don't know I'm doing it, you know. I go sit down by my sponsor. I go, hey, man. He goes, what? I said, them chicks think I'm funny. He goes, no, they think you're a lizard. I sit down. Thank God for sponsorship. Honest, thank God for sponsorship. I come in, I go out. I come in, I go out. Same old story, you know, it's same old thing. I was a macho man. You ever seen a macho man without teeth? They don't call you killer. I swear. I would come in the meeting. Can you hear me, Greg? Just checking, buddy. Greg's been making the coffee, y'all. Give Greg a hand. And, oh, it's great, man. Great coffee. I'll be like Jimi Hendrix. What page was on? I swear when Jimmy said, my name's Jimi Hendrix, I could hear, there must be some kind of way out of here. I ain't trying to embarrass him. I'm getting close, though. And I thought I looked so good. I love when people say, well, you're just full of yourself. It's all that's up here. What are you talking about, man? That's all I thought about. And in the big book, it says selfishness, self-centered, that we think is the problem. And my sponsor said, did you hear what you just read? I said, yeah, it said selfishness, self-centered, that we think is the root to our trouble. He said, not the little twig, not the little leaves that fall off the big root, but the damn root. Oh, he was serious, too. I think he knew Peter. I swear, man. But he was so good for me. And he'd embarrass me because I'd come in. I loved it when they'd say, anybody want a white chip? I'd go up and get a white chip, and everybody come up and rub your back. Oh, we're so glad you're here. Shut up. They'd rub on you. So about 2 days later, does anybody want a white chip? Yeah, I could. Now only one person's rubbing. I came back on the weekend, big meeting, a lot of people in there. Anybody want a white chip other than Roger? I didn't go up there. I ain't going up there. And I sat by my sponsor and they'd say, is anybody went back out? He pulled my arm down. I said, why'd you do that? He said, you haven't been in yet. You got to be in before you can go out. I'd make them cameo appearances. Oh, man. But I couldn't get sober on my own. I didn't realize that. I wasn't playing. You know, I'd come to AA, which is... I'm afraid I'll spit on somebody. With all the sincerity... Oh, I've done it, man. Whoa. To get sober and ignorant. A lot of people are just ignorant, man. I hate to say it like that. And I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about that one over there. I'm talking about me. I could not get it. And I wanted to get it. And I thought, man, it's the way I was brought up. Always poor. Never had nothing. I just couldn't. It's the way I was brought up. And then my dad would take us to the funeral home at night. It was like a drive-in for us. He didn't care who was laid out. He'd go up by the body and people would walk by and they called him Butterball. People walked by and he'd take that finger out of his belly button and say, thank y'all for coming. And they'd shake his hand. All us kids would go, So we're riding up there. And my dad is a disciplinarian. I'm not kidding, man. If I let go, you'll see why. And that meant that my dad wouldn't just mean he'd whoop you. He didn't care what the government said. You will get a whooping now. And we're riding to the funeral home one night, and he pulled up that old gravel lot. Parked that truck. I reached for them vice grips, opened the door. And my dad looked over at me and my brother. He said, hey, wait a minute. He said, do not eat nothing. Nothing. Got out of the truck and he went on up in the funeral home. And me and my brother got out of the truck and went around stealing valve caps. Off valve stems. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I'm stealing them, don't even know why. I don't own nothing that's got air. In the country, you could ride a bicycle without a tire and tube. Didn't dawn on me until I got sober. Why was we stealing them? And we go up in this funeral home, and it's one of them Baptist funeral homes. Country people, man, when they die, they bring beans. Had a kitchen on, man, and as soon as you walk in, there'd be a big pan of brown beans. Over here you got navy beans, and over here you got them both mixed. Beans. That's the awfulest thing to take to a funeral home. That ain't funny. You got somebody laying in a casket. Somebody that you love. And everybody in the family sitting there going... And me and my, nobody was in the kitchen. We're looking at all these beans, and bam, there they were. Piggly Wiggly cookies, those sandwich cream cookies. Know what I'm talking about? Piggly Wiggly called them 66. You know why? I figured it out. I did. There's six across, 11 in each row.
Shut up.
Y'all ride home today, go, really? 1, 2, 3. And my brother would tell everybody, my brother's a genius. Swear he would. And we forgot all about what my dad said. We bush hogged them. Started eating them cookies. We got cookie dust in the corners of our mouth, all over our bibbed overalls. And we walk out into the parlor. There's my dad up there with his finger in his belly, standing by a casket by somebody he don't even know. And we go walking up to him, and as soon as he seen we've been eating, he started whooping us in front of that casket. I told you! And you can hear everybody all over the funeral home. So we got real quiet, and somebody said, look at them heathens. And a guy walked up to my dad with a suit coat on with chalky hair and said, are you Butterball? My dad said, I am. He said, you're the man we're looking for. We want you to come to Louisville, Kentucky. What'd I say?
Louisville,
not Louisville. Don't ever do it. If you ever go see the Derby or something, don't drive into Louisville and ask them out in the corner, are we in Louisville? They'll say no, but it's around in the alley. Say Louisville. Go ahead and say it.
Louisville.
That's right. I'm trying to help you. And that guy said, if you'll come to Louisville, I'll pay you $5 an hour to drive a truck for us. Now, this is back in the early 60s. And my dad was so happy. Now, remember, I have a big mother and three big sisters. And he drives an old pickup truck, got cattle racks on the back. We get in the truck at night. He's so happy, man. He's driving back to that farmhouse, runs in the house. Grabs my mother like this, picks her up, kisses her right in the mouth. And her feet never left the ground. And he told her, we are moving to Louisville, Kentucky. And we only had one stick of furniture. It was an old couch. He pushed that couch on the back of that truck, tied the legs down with grass string in the back, and in the front so it wouldn't move when you took off. And he loaded my three heavy sisters like cattle. I ain't kidding you. It ain't funny. And they took up the whole couch. The only room left now was on the arms of that couch. My brother sat on one arm, I sat on the other, and he pushed all them Piggly Wiggly sacks full of underwears and socks, tucked them underneath that couch, and here we go to Louisville. And back in them, this is before 65 was built. You had to go 31W. And man, we'd ride 31W, we didn't get nowhere for about 3 hours. Or it seemed like, you know. And we're riding along, and my brother is going crazy. And as we're riding along, all them underwears are flying out of the back of that truck. We look like the Beverly Hillbillies. My brother is turning purple. I said, Ralph, what's wrong? He said, man, I gotta pee. I said, tell Daddy. He said, hell no. So I'm the idiot. I knocked on the window, and my dad turned around real fast. He said, what? I said, we got to pee. And my dad didn't look for a rest area or a nice asphalt driveway. Pulled right off the road in the ditch, and my mother took them three girls up in the woods to do their business. My daddy made me and my brother march to the back of that tailgate and pee off the back of that truck while cars went by. And I believe that's what made me drink. Hell yeah. I tell that in the treatment center, and they have the women sitting over here and the guys sitting over here. I tell that, and all them guys go, by God, he's right. And man, everybody knows it don't take nothing for an alcoholic to drink. We'll drink over a booger. You know. We will. It don't take much to get us to drink. But I didn't know that then. We go to Louisville and find an old shotgun house. You know what a shotgun house is? Straight through. You take a shotgun and shoot right through it. It'll go straight through it and not hit a wall. Found us a house. He backed that old truck up and pushed that couch off in it. Said he's going down to Booty Probus's used furniture and get us some furniture. Now, he's gone about 45 minutes. He comes back. He's got a load of junk on that truck. Backed that truck up. Had five rollaway beds. You know what rollaway beds are? Pushed them all off, and they got wheels on, rolled them into the bedroom, set them up. Oh, he's setting house. Then he brings in a kitchen table with chrome around the edge. Put it on the side and wheeled it in. Went in the kitchen and set it up. Then he brought five chairs in that didn't match. You know what I mean? One had a high back. One had a low back. One had a heart back. One didn't even have a back. And man, we were sitting there watching. He packed in a big TV, pushed it in front of that couch, and then went back out and got another TV and set that TV on top of that TV. So he goes to work, and he's working real good. And they back in, they paid cash money. He got cash money on Monday night, come home, had A&P sacks in his arm. Y'all remember A&P? And one of the sacks got a big old load of baloney sticking out of it. He come in our house, and we follow him like hungry wolves. Gets back in the kitchen, pulls out that baloney, lays it on the table, pulls out them crackers. Remember when they was big crackers? Before they start breaking them off? Sandwich cracker. He'd lay them out like he's doing an experiment. Reach in his pocket, get a pocket knife out, open it up, clean both sides, and then dry it off. And would start cutting that bologna and put that bologna on top of another cracker, take that same knife and water it through a mustard jar, and make a happy face. And I'd grab a cracker, put it on top of it, take a bite of it, and that mustard would shoot through them holes. I'd turn that cracker side, lick that mustard off, shut up, and go in the front room and lay on the floor in the underwear and watch those two TVs. Everybody's done it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. One of them's got the picture, and the other one's got the sound. Yeah. That's living there. And I started going to school, and something happened. This is kind of what I was like, what happened. Got to school, man, everybody in school wears Levi's. I can't wear Levi's. They didn't make Huskies back then. It ain't funny. And everybody's got their hair greased back. My dad takes me and my brother to the barber college. Now, the barber college is run by some old hateful man. Soon as he walked in, That old man looked at my dad. He goes, "How many?" My dad said, "I got two." He looked down at me. He said, "Sit down." I sat down in the barbershop. I said, "Can you take?" And he grabbed my hair in the front like this and started taking clippers. And he only had one cut. And it was called off. We walked out there, looked like two little pit bulls. Oh, it's funny tonight, ain't it? It wasn't funny then. And we'd go to school, walk down the hall, man, here's all them greasers wearing them tight Levi's and tight shirts, got cigarettes rolled up in the arm, and they leaned against the wall, and we'd come walking by. We had on polished cotton pants and polished cotton shirts, and we looked like two little heavy maintenance men. See, I'm going somewhere. I'm gaining a big resentment now. And if we're walking by them greasers, one of them said, "Hey, we got a light out." And my brother went over and hit that guy right in the face. In the big book, Dr. Silkworth says we must go back through our lives. Nothing counts but honesty and thoroughness. Y'all read that? This ain't bingo, is it? Said we go back through our lives. Nothing counts but honesty and thoroughness. And I remember, I always put these things down when I do an inventory. Because the very next day, in the very same school, wearing the same polished cotton pants and polished cotton shirt, my personality, I'm about to have a personality change. And don't even know it. Because the very next day, we're walking past those greasers. Don't none of them say a word. And I'm walking behind my brother. He can't see me. And he gets by him. Then I come by him. And something happened to me. Right then, I start doing this. I have had a personality change. Right then. Something happened to me. And later that day, I ran into a little short, heavy set. I love heavy people. Yeah, I do. Some skinny people I don't like. Thank God for the steps. I can tolerate them. I'm getting a lot better, man. But it was hard. It really was. And I ran at that little short, heavy set guy. He didn't have a neck. You seen them. They're so heavy, they don't have a neck. And I liked it. His name was Charlie. And Charlie, me and Charlie started talking. He said, "Roz, you drink?" I go, "Hell yeah." Never drank before in my life. Never. I'm just wanting to fit in with him. He said, "Roz, do you drink?" I go, "Yeah, I drink. Shoot, I drank all the time." I didn't know if people did that. He said, "Well, be in front of the school Friday night. I'll have a bottle." Man, I couldn't wait. Got out there in front of school Friday night. Football games going on. Chicks everywhere. And Charlie, he said, "Hey, Raj, I got a bottle. It's inside a sack and it's twisted around the neck." He pulled that bottle out. And it was Orange Rock vodka. Everybody's drank Orange Rock vodka. Yeah, everybody has. You have it? You know why you have it? Because it's expensive. Yeah. $1.16 a quart. Charlie take the top off that bottle. He'd lean back like this and take a big pull off of it and pull it out real quick. And he starts slapping himself in the face. He'd say, "Come on, Raj, hit me in the face like they do in them movies. Hand me that bottle." I grabbed the bottle. I did just like Charlie did. I put the bottle up to my mouth, get ready to take a big pull. And every time I put alcohol in me, my jaw stick out. And I'd hand the bottle back to Charlie. Charlie leaned back. He'd take another big pull off that bottle. He'd pull it out real quick, and he started bobbing and weaving. Come on, Ross. And I'm trying to grab that damn bottle. I get the bottle from him. I lean back. I take a big pull off of it. And this time, my hands start tightening. And all I can think about, Darren, is his jaw. I gave the bottle back to Charlie, and Charlie, he's getting ready to take another pull, and I'm standing over here like this. I thought, I wish you would. Yeah, he takes a big pull off of it, pulled it out, and I went, bam! Hit him right in the face. And he sat down on the curb and started calling me all them Augusta names. Don't act like you don't know him. And he started crying. Got up. We walked around to the football game. Back in them days, you walked around to the game. Make sure people knew you was drinking. But he said, take one more pull. And I took one more pull. And my ears got real hot. And my neck got real hot. And I got real sexy. Everybody's done it. Don't act like y'all haven't. Remember the first time you got drunk? I'll kiss anybody. And went around through the game, lean on the fence, and girls would walk behind us. Now, he said this didn't happen. I heard it. Girls would walk behind us and say stuff like, I want you. Kiss me tonight. He said, that was your perception. I can't even spell it. Know what the heck he was talking about. And I started drinking. I never felt so good. You ever felt so goddamn good looking? God dang. I mean, I felt good, man. And I always turned them on when I do it. Of course, they'd have to be drinking like me. You know. But man, I'm telling you, started drinking, getting in trouble. For dumb stuff, you know what I mean. Peeing on the side of the building, cops pull up and go, what are you doing? I go, nothing. Get in the car. And I'd get in the car and go to jail. He said, you want me to call your daddy? I went, oh, hell no. Don't call daddy, man. Oh, no. And he did. My dad said, no, you can have him. I don't want him. He said, well, you got to come get him. He come and got me. Oh, it was the worst ride home ever in my life. Oh, my God. He said, I ought to send you back down in the country to live with your uncle. I said, Daddy, my uncle's a drunk. He said, I ought to send you back home to live with your uncle and live with him. Now, my uncle is a real drunk. You ever hear anybody say it to me? I love that. I'm a real drunk. Oh, shit.
We've got a real one in the building.
I love that, man. Our garden variety. Hey, maters. Just an alcoholic, man. That's it. All I got is experience, strength, and hope. Nothing else. Nothing. I'm telling you, man. And anybody you hear in here has learned from learned men and women. Didn't nobody, wasn't nobody born, and their mom and daddy looked down that little incubator and went, oh, look at that little alcoholic. Woo! You go, girl. And I couldn't stop drinking. He sent me down there to live with my uncle, and I went down on the Greyhound bus. He's going to pick me up in his truck. I could see his truck, but I couldn't see him. And I walked over to the truck. Where the heck is he? I opened up the door. He's laying on the floorboard. I get him up. And he goes, you drive. I said, yes, sir. I started driving. He started drinking. We'd ride a little bit. I said, well, you got to show me the way. He said, turn that way. He didn't even look. And he'd take another drink. I said, hey, Uncle Boone, I drank too. Well, nobody told me. He had that old nasty bottle over it. It was nasty, the first drink. Second drink looked pretty good. Third drink, we got our arms around each other. I'm going off the road, on the road, off the road, on the road. And the sheriff come behind us. And I'd go off the road, the sheriff go with us. I come back on the road, and he turned that light on and walked up to the truck. He goes, get out of that truck. I rolled the window down. I can't. You get in. He got in. Took me and my uncle to jail in his truck. I swear. And my uncle went right to sleep. I hollered all night. I want to see my lawyer. He goes, what's your lawyer's name? I go, you know it. He said, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to take you down to the state hospital. I said, I ain't done a damn. Get out of there.
Get out.
Took me down to Western State Hospital, an old mental hospital that has a rock wall around it. Just a real old place. And I'm waiting to get checked in. And the guy said, it's going to take a while. You might as well go out in the yard. We got speakers out there. We'll call your name. I'm out there walking around. This one guy is sitting by the wall in a folding chair. And he's got his ear up to the wall. Like this. And I'm looking at him. You know how it is. I can't stand it. I got to go ask. I got to go ask him. I go over and go, hey, man, what are you doing? He goes, he jumped up out of the tree. He goes, sit down. I sat down. He said, put your ear against that wall. I put my ear up against it. About 3 or 4 seconds. I go, man, I don't hear nothing. He goes, it's been like it all day. I get it. And I stayed in there for 90 days, didn't change nothing. If you don't change nothing, your sobriety date will. And I didn't change nothing. Came right out of there and went right back doing the same thing. If you keep on doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. This ain't science stuff, y'all. I get it. I got to change. I don't know how to change. I asked the psychiatrist, how you change? He said, I don't want to talk to you because I was real hateful. And if you're not willing to let somebody talk to you, they're not going to spend time with you. It's like at an AA, or it is in Florida. You come up and say, guy says, hey, I want you to be my sponsor. Another guy says, I'd love to. The guy said, well, we're going to do it like this. I want you to come get me. Take me over to Main Ethel's house, get my laundry. And the guy said, I'm not sponsoring you. He goes, why not? He said, man, I ain't got that much gas money. My God. So the guy gives him a big book. And the guy takes the big book and tries to sell it. Please. And he can't sell it. And he comes back and asks the guy to take him through the big book. And he did. And that guy's sober today. I couldn't get it. And that guy that I run with, Charlie, I hadn't seen him in 10 years. You know where Charlie's been? Sober. And I seen Charlie out on the street. And I hollered at him, "Hey, Charlie, your mama." Woo! And he come back by. He said, "Roz, what is wrong with you, man?" I said, "Same old Roz." He goes, "Yeah, you are the same old Roz. Why don't you do something about it?" I said, "What can I do?" He said, "Well, come to AA." "Oh, I ain't come to AA. You ain't going to get me all spiritual." He was real serious. He said, "I don't think you got anything to worry about." "I really don't." And I did start coming to AA, and I'd come and sit in the back and make fun. Like everybody does it. Sit in the back row. "Oh, look at him, big fat face. He's lying." That's what I did. Somebody tell you I'm an alcoholic just by the grace of God.
"Yeah, right."
6 months later, I'm in a meeting, and a guy says, "Rod, you got anything?" I said, "I'm sober by the grace of God." And I'm telling the new guy, same thing that I was told. He said, "Have you worked the steps?" I said, "Where are they?" I ain't lying. I ain't worked a step. And Charlie would always talk about the steps. And I asked Charlie to take me through the steps. He said, come to my house on Saturday. I live in a halfway house. The Talbot House. He said, "Come over Saturday." I said, "What time are you going to pick me up?" He said, "I ain't coming after you. You're the one bumming." He said, "You come to my house. The Talbot House is on 5th Street. He lives on 28th. I walked down to his house. I was so mad by the time I got, I hope he don't answer the door. I'll knock it down. I get to his house. And the door opens, and he goes, sits back down on the couch. "Come on in." I thought, this is a trap. He's going to get me locked up. I walk in his house. He said, "Rod, we're going to go through the first three steps as it's laid out in the big book." He said, "Now I'm going to go back to the kitchen and get some Kool-Aid. Do you want some Kool-Aid?" I said, "Look at me. Do I want Kool-Aid? Hell yeah." He said, "Well, start clapping." "Huh?" He said, "Start clapping. What page is that on?" He said, "Rod, if you don't want to clap, go on and walk back to that halfway house." I start clapping. He goes back in the kitchen. Shoot, I start getting into it. He come back in. "Stop clapping." Grabbed the Kool-Aid. I grabbed the Kool-Aid, took a big pull off of it, put it down. I said, "Charlie, why'd you have me clapping?" He said, "Rod, because you're a thief." "Yeah." He said, "If your hands are moving..." He said, "If your hands are moving, you can't steal nothing." And Charlie took me through the first three steps. And something happened. I swear, I felt like Dorothy when the house fell. And she was in black and white. And when I left this house, I walked out, it was in color. And walked back to that halfway house, laughing and crying. I'd walk a little while, I'd just laugh, and then I'd start crying. "God." He said, now we're going to take rigorous action. Well, I want you to put everything on paper, people you're resentful at. I said, where am I going to get all that paper? And he gave me a legal pad, and I put it down. And as I was writing, I started to feel better. Something happened between writing, just putting it down on paper, and I'm seeing it. I changed. My heart bled, man. I wouldn't tell nobody. And I've been sober for a while, and I forgot about going to court. And when you forget about going to court, they have somebody to come remind you. His name is Sheriff. And the sheriff came over to the Talbot House. He said, do y'all have a Roger Hightower here? I jumped up. I said, that's me. He said, I got somebody who wants to see you. I said, well, it's about time. Put my old jacket on. I went with him. Took me down to the courthouse. And I waited in line, and then I got my chance to spill. And I got up to the microphone, the podium like this, and then the judge said, are you Roger Hightower? I said, I am. He said, Mr. Hightower, did you know that you were supposed to be in here back in June? Huh? He said, did you know you were supposed to see us in June? And he turned the page. He said, also, you weren't here in September. Did you know you were supposed to be here in September? I guess. He said, it's your lucky day. He said, Mr. Hightower, I'm going to put you in penitentiary for 5 years. I said, me? I said, Your Honor, I'm sober, man. I'm living to shut up. Set me down to penitentiary, and it was the best thing that ever happened. Sounds like the worst thing. I got down in penitentiary. It's unbelievable how God works in our lives, but for the grace of God. I'm telling you, I got to penitentiary, and they put me in a cell with a young black guy from Eastern Kentucky. I'm from Western Kentucky. He is black. I am white. This ain't gonna work. They open up the cell, swear to God. They open up the cell, and this kid, he folds towels for the laundry. And he brings them in the cell. He's back there folding them. And the cell opened up. He turned around. He looked at me, put both his arms up like this. He goes, God loves you. I went, wrong cell. It was the right cell. Right on time. God ain't never late. Now, I've heard it all weekend. God ain't never been late. Right on time. And y'all know it. Remember when you was riding on the hood of the car with your blouse off going, I'll party with anybody. He was always watching us. And we're so hard-hearted. I've never seen any people like us. We're the most hard-hearted people. But God has some softener he puts on us. I know that from my experience. I come here, you could have striked a match on my face. I'd look at somebody and this side of my head would say, oh, look at her. She's so pretty. This side would say, go over and slap the shit out of her. Swear to God, it did. I don't know. We're people who normally wouldn't mix. Oh, we wouldn't mix at all. Y'all shoot me. And I'm in that penitentiary cell, that young black kid, and every day he'd get up and get off his bunk and get on his knees, and he'd look up at me, and I'd act like I couldn't see him. You ever done that? He knows you're looking. This kid is my messenger. God ain't never late. He's always on time. And he'd hold his arm up like this. He said, "Roger, won't you pray with me?" And I'd say stupid stuff like, "Won't you go to hell?" I'm ignorant. I don't know any better. I really don't, man. He'd do it every day. He meant it. I mean, he meant it from his soul, man. And it would scare me. That's why I would cuss him out, because I'm afraid. That's why, guys, you always hear somebody come off with something. They're just scared, man. And he'd ask me every day for 8 months. And on the eighth month, I was working out on the highway, picking up trash. Picking that trash up, man. And something was happening with me. I know. I really know what God was dealing with me. But I didn't know it then. And I pulled this card off. It's one of them church tracks. And there's a big cross on that track. And on the sideboards, there's two little guys running on each side. And they get to the middle of the cross and it lights up. I thought, man, that's it. I've been living in the dark. That's it, man. So I'm on the way back to the penitentiary, and I thought, man, if that little black kid asked me to pray with him tonight, I'm praying. I dare him. I dare him pray with me. Got back to the penitentiary, and they opened up the doors, and there he is. He got on his knees. He said, "Rod, won't you pray with me?" I said, "I will." I pushed his arm out of the way. Macho man. And I got down on my knees beside him. And I'm getting ready to do it, man. The guards come walking through. Two white guards. I'm on my knees with a black kid from Eastern Kentucky. I'm 39 years old. He's 23. God picks the messenger. You don't. He picks him. And man, they get right up to our cell, and I jump up. And right when I jump up, a little young kid from Eastern Kentucky, he said, "Raj, God don't care who's watching." And he got real bold and real loud. And I'm thinking to myself, "You want to bring it down?" Ah, dang, man. He said, "Raj, God don't care who's watching. God don't care who's listening." He said, "God is the perfect gentleman. He's ready when you are." And I was ready. I was ready. And I got back down on my knees. And I heard this in an AA meeting. Everybody who would get up here and talk would always say, or if I was at my home group, your home group, they'd always say, "Things got better when I asked God to help me." And I'm going to ask him. And I asked God to help me, and that kid went off. As soon as I started to pray, I said, "God, I just want your help." I swear, if he'd had hair, it would have went stud straight up. He started praying. It sounded like the Declaration of Independence read backwards. And we become the best of friends. I'm telling you, you go to penitentiary, they'll feed you, they'll clothe you, and if you're lucky enough, you might get in a relationship. And I did. And not that kind. Not the kind you're thinking about. I had a relationship with a power greater than me. And miraculously, I got out of the penitentiary and went back to the Talbot House. And started stalking a little red-headed girl. Well, that's what y'all call it. I called it love. And everywhere Beth would go, I'd sit behind her. And I'd say, "Beth." I'd lean up and I'd go, "Hey, Beth, when are we going out?" And she'd turn around real quick, "When pigs fly." I didn't give up. I kept it for the next 3 years. Everywhere she went, I went. I was right behind her. 3 years later, the pig flew. Yeah. My teeth had grown. rode back? Hello. Don't tell me your teeth won't come back. Things started getting better. I'm driving a truck. A lot of people don't think, they think I'm a doctor, but I'm not. And everybody in this room seen me driving a truck. Go on, shake your head. Not me. Look again. And we started dating. She'd only let me take her out to places that were litted real well. That was in 1996. Christmas Eve, 1996. And Vicki remembers. I bought a ring from the store. Y'all can laugh if you want. That's a big deal where I come from. I had a receipt. And I went to her house on Christmas Eve, and she said, I got a present for you. I said, I got a present for you. She said, what is it? I reached in my pocket and brought out that box. She went, oh, no. And I got on my knees, and I grabbed her hand, and I started crying. I said, Beth, will you marry me? And she started crying. We're both crying. Her roommate walks in and goes, who died? And Beth's going, he asked me. And we're going to get married. We got married on May the 30th, 1997, in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm still with her. And we start having babies. We got married on May the 30th. On December the 12th, we had a little girl named Lily. Now, it's 9 months. Don't add it up. That's the first thing women will do. Wait a minute. He said May. Well, that's not 9 months. It's 9 months in our house. And we had little Lily, and I swear to God, I fell in love with her. I took her every meeting I went to. I'd carry her. I'm a big macho man. Walk in the meeting with a pink hand diaper bag and a little baby over here. You got any resentments, Raj? Hell yeah. You want me to share them? And then time was going by. We had another little girl. And at this time, I had a rag. Got my foot tore off. Tore completely off. In Cincinnati, and Vicki is from Cincinnati, and they have a Oak Street house there, and she would have people come every day. I had a meeting every day from AA people. Call it what you want, but we had a meeting every day. As long as I was up there, she would take my wife and my little girl Lily home, and we had a little girl. Her name was Katie. All my life I wanted to live with chicks. Be careful what you pray for. Because I have to clean the sinks out. And I stick this thing down the drain, I pull out squirrels. God Almighty. And my wife's sober a year longer than I am, man. We're just the perfect little family. And my wife's trying to help a little girl who takes cracks and marijuanas. And she's pregnant. And Beth said, don't take them, don't take them. Let's read the big book. And the girl was sat there and she looked down at the floor. Beth would read to her. And she didn't get it. She went to the hospital and delivered a little baby boy named Christian. Little boy. And she, after 10 weeks, after she started getting herself together, she came over to our house and said, Roger, will y'all watch Christian? I went, hell yeah. Because I grabbed him and went, wee, 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 wee. but she didn't come back. 4 months went by. We're all falling in love with Christian. Oh, man. I bought her some onesies, some twosies, from Old Navy. Oh, I got him looking good. Head on bibs. Shut up. And the little girl came back. She said, I'm here to get Christian. And Beth is holding him on her hip. I said, Beth, give me Christian. And she's looking at me like, I'll smack your mother in the face. I said, Beth, give me Christian. She shoved him to me. Her and my two daughters walked out of the room. And I gave that little girl back her baby. I've been brought up right. Do things right. God either is or he ain't. She laughed. For the next 3 days, she didn't come back. And every time I'd come home from work, I'd walk into the TV room. All three of them get up and go in another room. Would not say a word to me. I ate bologna sandwiches. On the third day, she came back. And she came up on the porch and said, Roger, will you watch Christian? I went, hell yeah, I'll watch you. I just turned around and went in the house. She left. I come in the house. Everybody was happy. My sponsor said, Roger, give that girl 2 weeks. 2 weeks. She don't hear from her. Go file emergency adoption. I let 3 weeks go by. And I went and filed for emergency adoption. I'm a convicted felon. And the prosecuting attorney would come up and hug me. Hug somebody like me. And she say, I'm so proud of you. She said, I know where you come from. And I know what you're doing. She said, a lot of people wouldn't do this. And it costs like $1,200 to $1,500 each court visit. You have to go 7 times. And each time I would take that money down there proudly. I don't make a lot of money. And I'd give them everything I had. And they would take it. And on the 7th day, on the 7th month, we went down there. That little girl's not come around or nothing. We walked in the courtroom. The judge is smiling at me. Come on in, Mr. Attar. That prosecuting attorney, she's got her arm around me. She said, guess what today is? Today's the day. His name is going to change to your name. And I can't hardly talk, man. And right about that time, she walked through the doors of the courtroom, calling us MFs, SOBs, you dirty bees. She said, the last people gave me money. And the judge had the deputies grab it, girl. She had done it to 2 other children. And they got her out of the courtroom. They went on with the procedure. They said, Roger Hightower, you are now the father of Christian Hightower. I took him home and dressed him just like me. Just like me, man. All my life I wanted a little boy. Today, he's 10 years old. He turned 10 July 27th, and he walked in the house. He goes, hey, Dad, guess what? I'm double digits. And I'm looking at him. I'm going, double digits? What are you talking about? And my wife walked in and goes, hey, moron, 1-0. And right before school... Or at school, I go pick him up, and he runs out to the car. He gets in the car. Hey, Dad, guess what? He said, Dad, a fire truck today. We all got to climb on it. He said, I got behind the steering wheel. I said, well, what was the most important part of your day? He said being with you. I went home and Beth said, what is wrong with you? She goes, oh my God, what did he say? And I couldn't even tell her. God will soften our hearts, whether you like it or not. And he softened mine. I have a little boy who's 10. Katie, who's 15. Lily, who's 18. Y'all can have either one of those.
Whatever.
And all they do is walk around the house with this thing in front of their face. That's all they do. And then Katie's always wanting a new phone. I said, I want a new truck. And me and Christian, at night when I go lay beside him, he goes, hey, Dave, let's get on the side of the bed. We get on the side of the bed and we pray for our friends. He prays for all his friends. Toby, I'll pray for Mikey. Named everybody. He goes, all right, Dad, your turn. I said, I pray for you and your mama. And Lily and Katie, because God has blessed us so much. You've been so blessed, man, you can't take it. I have been blessed. An idiot from Western Kentucky who thought he was the best-looking man in the world. I'd tell people I was a gangster, and they go, gangsters have teeth. And in Kentucky, we got a little old man who gives a talk, and every time he gets done with his talk, he sings this little song. He goes, look what God can do. If he done it for me, he'll do it for you. And he did. Thank y'all for listening.